I'm Steve Potter, and later on Cityscape, Sarah Graham of St. Louis Dish Crawl has a preview of this weekend's Battle Dish event in the Central West End. It's a food and drink competition between St. Louis chefs. And St. Louis Public Radio's Maria Altman reports on the International Photography Hall of Fame and Museum that's opening today in Grand Center. But first, it was last year that composer Barbara Harbach was commissioned to write an original symphony to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Jubilee Symphony will premiere Wednesday evening at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center. Barbara Harbach is a professor of music at UMSL. She joins us now with the conductor of UMSL's University Orchestra, Robert Howard, and welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Delighted to be here as usual.
You've been here a few times.
Yeah, I'm very pleased about that.
You know, I was thinking about the times you've been here before, like before your musical booth, mm-hmm. or before O Pioneers, mm-hmm. and American Opera. And
yeah.
I guess it was just about a year ago,
yeah.
for A State Divided, and Robert, you were in on that too.
Yes, I was. It was a great honor to premiere that piece.
Because you conducted that. But I guess what I'm thinking, Barbara, is when you're commissioned to write something about an institution, a big institution that's celebrating 50 years, you know, and they are celebrating in a big way and have been, did that put a lot of pressure on you to come up with a really good way to tell this story than everybody was expecting to hear?
Absolutely. It's always interesting how composers or arrangers come up with what they're going to be doing. And I wanted to have the topics, the titles of my pieces first. And once I have that, and I knew I was going to call it the Jubilee Symphony, there was nothing else to do but call it Jubilee for our anniversary. And so I came up with three names: Belrive from the country club, Belrive Acres. And then the second movement is the Mirthday Fiesta, which is only UMSL does this. It's a fun day. It's a Cinco de Mayo. It's a festival. It's a wonderful time. And the third one is our mascot, and it's Triton's Ascending. And Triton, of course, the son of Poseidon, comes up out of the water.
Well, we want to talk about those three movements in detail a little bit more. You know, you and your husband, Chancellor Tom George, have been here for about 10 years. So you haven't been here the whole 50 years, obviously.
No, one-fifth.
Oh, yeah, something like that. So I know you probably picked up a lot of the university's history along the way just being mm-hmm. here. But so did you have to go to the library and do some digging? How did you start this?
No, I just knew, because there's always so much talk about starting as a country club. And it was we meet so many people who went to school in the country club itself for so many years. And so I knew that was a given. And the other ones just kind of came. And so I had my framework and I knew what to do.
Robert, do you have what's your history with the university?
Well, it's a short one. I'm the interim conductor. I've been here just a little over a year, year and a half. So it's a joy. I've had some other connections by having a few pieces performed here. I'm a composer too in the past, and I've friends with Jim Richards and many of the other staff. Mm-hmm.
So you and Barbara have worked together before, as we already mentioned. And mm-hmm. I remember last time you were here, you were talking about that, and you were saying some positive things about that collaboration. So could you talk about that?
Oh, yes. It's a continuation. I really looked forward to it. Matter of fact, when I interviewed for the job, I was asked to provide a list of pieces I'd like to do. And I put on that list something by Barbara Harbach.
Oh,
so now this is the second time around. And the Jubilee Symphony is definitely a worthy and enjoyable type of enterprise. There is so much joy in it, so much content and imagination. So it was a challenging piece and one that's very rewarding for the orchestra and for me as well.
So, Barbara, when did you complete Jubilee Symphony, and then when did you and Robert start to work on it together, and what was that process like?
That was a fun time. I did it probably in December 2012, and I guess we started working on this in the summer of this year, and mm-hmm. talking about, and Robert is just a wonderful eye and ear for music, not even having heard it. And so he would have some questions, suggestions, and they were always great. And so I appreciate that so much. And as a composer himself, it really helped the process go around.
So how long have you been in rehearsal for this?
Well, since August, the end of August, last 2 weeks of August when school started. So we've been doing that and working away at it, and we're reaching the culmination. And just yesterday's rehearsal, Barbara came by to give comments and to basically check on how we're doing.
So you're done?
Well, we're getting there, very close. Robert does so well with transitions. You know, modern composers often like to have different tempos and different rhythms, and everyone has a different rhythm, and he does very good at finding out what is important, what should be stressed, and so that's always fun to hear.
What was the best advice or the best input he gave you?
Input. He talked a lot about woodwinds, which has helped me a lot, and especially the how to write for woodwinds in a sense that they have separate parts. If you have two flutes and two oboes, two clarinets, give the seconds a little something more to do. So I always appreciated that comment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I was honored by the fact that she listened, and she was and came forth with such original responses.
Yeah, I guess you didn't have to. You want to look at it that way. Yeah. Well, Barbara, I find that your inspiration for the first movement very appropriate, because I remember being long before Umsel was here, driving down Natural Bridge, or I should say being driven down, because I wasn't old enough to drive. And I always have the memory of the country club and the grounds here of driving by, and it was so beautiful, and that's what your first movement is about.
And it is. And I just kind of picture it. That's where the composer's imagination comes in. Pictured what it would look like, having seen photos of the original club and the grounds.
For those that don't remember, it looked like a big old house, really, a mansion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Set back far from the road with beautiful trees. And,
yeah.
And so it seems like a logical place to start when you're talking about the history of the university, because for people who don't realize, when the school was first established, everything was in that one building, from administrative offices to classrooms to you name it.
Yeah, very exciting times. And I just think it is just marvelous that they could even get the university going. There were so many different partners and so many dominoes that had all fallen in place to get this done. And we are very thankful for everybody who helped with that process.
Yeah, there was a committee of, I can't remember, they called 13 or 39 or however many people it was.
I know what you mean, exactly.
Yeah.
And Wayne Good was very influential.
State representative.
Yeah,
right.
To get that going.
So tell me about that first movement and what you're trying to get across there and how you did it.
Oh, it's a big conversation. Robert probably has a lot to say about that. It's a conversation among many, many instruments. Sometimes there are 30 parts going on at one time. So I'll pass it over to Robert.
Yeah. I think conversation is the perfect transitional word there, because the movement itself is not only about the mansion or the beauty. It's also about the people, and especially the people who had the vision to start it. And there's some it has a great spirit to it, a spirit of dance. And some interesting, fascinating syncopated rhythms. And then toward the middle and toward the end of the piece, there is a couple of fugatos where there's merry discussions between people who are working together to take the project to the next step. And it just speaks right through the music.
The history of the university is pretty well documented. I know Blanche Tuhill did a book on it. I don't know what other kind of documentation there's out there, but there's a lot of it.
Yes, there is, and I'm glad there is. And I think because it's only 50 years old, we had a lot of technology even back then, and we could preserve so much of it orally as well as written.
Mm-hmm. The second movement is influenced by that annual spring event that you mentioned.
Yes, the Mirth Day Fiesta. It's a festival, and it's sort of like an old carnival as well as, you know, an affair, everything going together.
And the third?
And the third movement is Tritons Ascending. Tritons are now our mascot. And so,
you know, I never heard of a triton until...
Yeah, it became our mascot. Yeah. You know, there were other names in there that were in the throw. Hellbenders, which is our little...
That's fish or something, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we came up with Tritons, and I kind of like Tritons. I like the image of Tritons ascending out of the sea and out of a university, coming out of, you know, really nothing in the dark murkiness of the ocean and coming up. And I have the brass bring them up to the surface.
That's composer Barbara Harbach. We're also talking with conductor Robert Howard of the UMSL's University Orchestra about the Jubilee Symphony, which is going to be premiering next Wednesday at the Tuhill Performing Arts Center. So, Robert, as from a conductor's point of view, how do the three movements work together for you? And How do they speak to you?
They're wonderfully contrasted. She was speaking about the Mirth Day, and to highlight the Cinco de Mayo flavor of that, she incorporates a lot of the idioms and instrumentation of mariachi. And so it's very fun with delightful rhythms and lots of percussion, Latin percussion, to kind of highlight that message. And she mentioned the Tritons. And there's a feeling I get about the Triton movement is of determination and optimism because of the low rising to the top and lovely lyric melodies coming of that and a gathering excitement and sense of mission and accomplishment.
I like that phrase, the Triton movement. It sounds political, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The Triton movement.
We would like that today.
Well, Barbara, when you put all the three movements together, talk about the contrast or how one transitions to another and what that means to you.
Yes, I would say that the movements, although they're separate, there are some things in common. And as a composer, I tried to have a lot of different percussion instruments, with Robert just answered. I like to have motion in the strings, and I think that's in all movements. And I also like, and Robert mentioned, I like to write fugues. And so a lot of talking goes on.
And Robert, in addition to the Jubilee Symphony, you're doing some other work too, including Beethoven.
Yes. I paired the Beethoven to the symphony because I'm so struck by the fact of what jubilation that Beethoven wrote in this very sunny symphony. Obviously, it's his second attempt at it, and at the exact time in his life it was written. This was written at the same time as the famed Heiligenstadt Testament, in which Beethoven faces the darkness of the reality that his hearing is going and pretty nearly gone, and even contemplates ending his life. But he states at the same time his art held him back. He had so much more to accomplish, and he certainly did, if you think of the Second Symphonies on. And this piece is highly imaginative. It's prophetic. It foretells not only Beethoven's later work, particularly his Ninth Symphony, but even the work of other composers, such as Schubert. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating piece of music with a great range of expression.
UMSL's University Symphony Orchestra premieres Barbara Harbach's Jubilee Symphony Wednesday, 7:30 in the evening at the Toohill Performing Arts Center. Free and open to the public, we should say. But if you want to find out more, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Two Hills website. But otherwise, just show up on Wednesday at 7:30 should be good enough, right? Well, one more thing, Barbara. When we talked about a year ago, you may or may not remember, we talked a little bit about how history inspires you in your work, and you've done a lot of your work has dealt with things, say, out of the like the Civil War, out of the mid-19th century, right? So this is a little interesting because while it's still history, it's history that a lot of people in the audience are going to remember or perhaps were a part of.
It's a living history, and it's still going on. And I kind of like that aspect of it. And, yes, historical is one of my definite inspirations. But actually, I was so honored and delighted to write this symphony for UMSL. It's one of my favorite things.
And 50 years is quite a milestone, so it's something to think back on the legacy of the University of Missouri St. Louis, what it's meant to the community and what's ahead. You know, there was a lot of talk, I don't know if you know this, back when that committee that we were talking about was formed, there was a lot of people thought it should just be a community college.
Right.
And wouldn't things have been different if that had happened?
Been a different piece.
Yeah, that's right. It'd be a whole different work.
Yeah.
That's composer Barbara Harbach, professor of music at UMSL, and we've also been talking with Robert Howard, conductor of UMSL's University Orchestra. And again, the premiere of Jubilee Symphony Wednesday evening at the Two Hill. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.
And coming up on Cityscape, a new museum in Grand Center. This is St. Louis Public Radio.